This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
The 6th of July 1967 is etched in musical history as the day John Lennon was introduced to Paul McCartney by their mutual friend Ivan Vaughan. On a day where the Police Dog Show was one of the main attractions, John's group, the Quarrymen, were the supporting act for the main band. The moment of their meeting would have gone unremembered had it not been the beginning of one of the world's greatest musical partnerships. This week we go to St Peter's Church Hall to meet two women who were both there that day, Pam Cottrell and Jenny Lovegrove. I'm Laura Davis.
And I'm Ellen Kerwin, and this is Beatles City. So you were actually at the hall where the meeting between the two of them taking place. What was that like?
Well, it's funny really, because it's kind of part of my life anyway. My little girl goes to Rainbows in that church hall, and that's what I think is really special about it. When people come and visit Walton, St Peter's Church Hall is still a church hall. They still have toddler groups and Rainbows and Brownies. There's a famous photograph of the day that John Lennon met Paul McCartney that Geoff Ryan took, and there's a Brownie on that. So it just very much hasn't changed in many ways. So when you go in, you get a real feel for how it would have been at the time, but the famous stage that they played on isn't there anymore. That's in the museum.
And how well do the two women, do they actually remember the fete?
They remember it pretty well, mainly because it was so exciting for them. Nothing to do with John Lennon, really. Just that it was quite a big day in Walton's calendar and there were trucks going through the village. All the Brownies would be on one, and one of these women was on the Rose Queen one. So she remembers having this new dress and feeling really pretty in her new dress. Another of the women did know John Lennon, was a little bit closer to him in age, and so remembers seeing them. And, well, I'll let her tell you in her own words in a bit what she thought of them at the time.
There were stalls and selling everything. There were game stalls.
Yes,
and
there's things like literally coconut shies and things,
A marquee with afternoon tea.
Yes, and flowers in. The flowers
and in. The scout's aerial runway.
Which, oh, yes, I remember that.
Oh, yes.
Oh, I've seen a photograph. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it yeah. was. Yeah. Health and safety would certainly not let it happen.
Over the quarry.
Yes,
just no, about, well, it wasn't quite. It was on the field.
Yes. It was definitely.
But it was they had a great time. You sat on this chair and it zoomed down. But I don't remember ever doing it. But maybe it wasn't so much girls.
Not too much of a wimp to do that.
But actually, that was quite a highlight. Something. And of course, at the fete, we always had bands playing. It was the Cheshire Yeomanry that year. I think it is. It's on the programme.
Something like that.
Something like that anyway, but they had a big band, proper band, and then the scout bands. We always had a band playing in the field, and later on I remember having majorettes once doing a demonstration there. We always had the police dogs.
Yes, they were very popular.
Very popular.
Well, they are anywhere, yes. Aren't they? You know, kids
because, like. I mean, the reason, what I understand is that the reason the Quarrymen were asked to go was because we'd realised that teenagers weren't coming to the fete. It was largely families and older people, and they thought if we got something aimed at the younger people, maybe they will come in. And we'd heard about Harry Forrest, who ran the fete, heard about the Quarrymen through the youth club, because John was in the youth club. So he said, would they like to come and play on the field? And so they did two sessions on the field to try and...
I can actually remember that quite clearly, them actually playing on the field. I can just remember sort of standing around and thinking, you know, what should I do now? I said to my mother the band wasn't up to much, but I grew to regret that later on.
Well, I remember somebody telling me, one of the tourists we had, saying that she remembers them being on, but she wanted them to get off because the next act was the police dogs. I was on one of the floats. I was a six-year-old flower girl in a pink silk dress, which I distinctly remember, and it was a play dress for years, but I remember my dress. I don't remember anything really other than that, mainly because I think we had fete every year, and so they get confused in your mind, especially when you're young. They were all very similar, but that year I was in my pink dress, and it was lovely. Because the parish is quite spread out, we alternate years. One year we would go down the hill, which is what we did that year, down King's Drive, down Church Road, down King's Drive, along Hanscott Avenue, up Manor Road and then back up. And then the other year we would go up Church Road and along and down Linkstore Road and Vale Road, Boy Street and round that way. So we did different journeys just to enable people, other people in the parish to see the processions with all the lorries which were filled mainly... they were coal lorries
yes.
And have good clean.
But
there were so many different ones.
Duttons,
yeah. But there were, I mean, I must admit, when I grew up and I started to learn to drive, I wondered how on earth they could drive so slowly around those lorries without stripping their gearboxes because they were crawling along. And that's what it is. We sat on the back of the lorries, quite often people with their legs over the end, and nobody made a fuss about it.
No.
When we tried to recreate it for the 50th anniversary, the health and safety,
no way,
you can't put children on the back of a lorry. But nobody ever fell off. I don't remember anything ever happening. And we just went, crawled around and had fun and waved at all the people watching us.
It's been exciting to be 6 years old and
in your lovely dress. Yes, it was, yes. And my best friend, it was also on the same hairpiece dress on the lorry as well, so Alison remembers it very well. And funnily enough, just talking about coal lorries, my friend Alison, she is now a lay reader at St Nicholas Hare Wood, and last year she conducted a funeral, and it was for a coal merchant from Speke. And she was talking to the family about it, and then she came home and opened her laptop, and her screensaver is the picture of us on the lorry. And she saw the name of the coal merchant on the lorry and realised it was the same family, rang them, and they said, that arm sitting out of the cab was the chap you just buried.
Uh-huh.
Yes, it's a very small world and a very small community in many ways. So it was...
So why were you at the fete, Jenny?
Because... the youth club was my life, really, Tuesdays and Saturdays. So a crowd of us came down, including Jeff Rind and various other, Pete Sissons, who's recently, as you know, probably just died, and Chris Rowe, and, you know, everybody that was involved with the church and the youth club. You just all met there. It was the sort of thing you did.
And what did you get up to at the youth club?
Oh, you shouldn't be asking that. Not a lot, if they aren't. An awful lot of talking, a lot of dancing. I mean, dance, dance, dance. There was table tennis, I seem to remember, for the first bit.
Was Jack Gibbon still running it then?
Oh, yes, and Alberta.
Yeah.
Yes. Tubular chairs all the way around the edge and then the stage. It was very innocent, but great fun. I mean, great, great fun. I'm still friendly with people I was friendly with then, which is, you know, is nice.
But, yeah.
No, I mean, we had things like outings to Morecambe from the youth club. I think I ate a bag of aniseed balls and then proceeded to go on to the waltzer 23 times, which was not a good thing to do after eating a bag of aniseed balls. It was a nasty journey home. But no, we had very good times.
So a group of you decided?
Yes, to come. Yes, there must have been about... It was my friend Anne, my friend Sandra... just a whole crowd, really, that always came to the youth club. And then as we got older, we'd come here, we'd go to Quarry Bank, because they used to do a dance on a Saturday night, and Clearview, which was at Mosley Hill Church. So it was all very sort of church-based, all our entertainment. And then, of course, you started to spread your wings a bit and go off to university and such like. So
you saw the quarrymen during the day. Did you see them in the hall as well?
I did, because, in fact, the fellow that was leader of the band for the dance in the evening had worked for my father, George Edwards. He was the sort of person that he'd single me out because I was Mr. Beaton's daughter. So, yes, I did see them. That's actually when I said to my mother I didn't think the band were up to much.
So they were supporting the main...
Yes.
Main
yes, they were just allowed a slot, or a set, as they call them now, don't they?
Do you remember anything else about that?
Not really. No, not really.
Just part of your life.
It's just part of my life. I didn't know I had to remember it. That's the honest answer. As you didn't, you know, you didn't know what was going to happen to them at all.
No. Yes. I mean, by the time I grew up to be a teenager, they'd gone. I mean, it was sort of they went around, they developed, and I don't think it was ever mentioned when I was a teenager and the Beatles were getting quite popular that they actually were from Walton. I don't remember thinking, oh, they must have been around when I was a child. I don't think it was really sort of publicised a lot. It wasn't really mentioned, or maybe just I didn't go. I didn't read fan magazines. It may have been in fan magazines, but I didn't sort of do that because I was actually late at that stage never particularly a Beatles fan. I mean, I knew the music, but I was a folk music fan. I went to the Spinners, and used to go to Gregson's Well to hear the Spinners.
So was that more, somewhere behind London Road?
Yes.
Yes, I used to go there.
Yes,
as well.
Get taken by my parents. Alice and I got taken by my parents and to there. But we used to go. So I was into folk music and classical music with my parents. So I was never really a Beatles fan.
Well, the last time I saw John Lennon, before he hit the really big time, was in the Crack in off Hope Street.
Yeah,
because he was at the art school, and my friend's father was the principal of the art school. We used to go to all the dances and such like, and he was around there then. But that's the last time I really remember seeing him, as a person that I knew. Mm. Obviously, the rest is history, really, as to what happened.
So you knew him a little bit. What was he like?
Sarcastic. I mean, I must be honest, I didn't particularly like him. But as I say, I didn't know his background then, and when I read his sister's book, I was really horrified that that he'd had such a hard life, really, such an upsetting life, and it really answered a lot of questions as to why he could be, quite acerbic in the things he said. I mean, he had a brilliant creative mind. There's no doubt about it. Right from being very young, doodles and scribbles and bits of music and such like. He was a very, very creative person.
And did you ever go to see the Beatles at the Cavern?
I did. Oh, yes. I wasn't really supposed to because I was still at school. My friend worked, and I used to go meet her for lunch, ostensibly, just to have lunch. And it was the lunchtime sessions, and a couple of times in the evening, but didn't see them an awful lot. But it was always hot and unpleasant in there. We thought it was wonderful at the time. Mm-hmm. I mean, Liverpool certainly in the 60s was such a wonderful scene for music.
What did you went multiple times? Did you really like them? Did you
think? Oh yes.
Did you tell that they were something really special?
Yes, I think you could tell quite early on that they were. I know when the first time they were on Top of the Pops, I think it's Love, Love Me Do, wasn't it? The first one that was on there. My father saying, "Your friends are on the television."
The thing that always struck me is that John used to talk, make out or say that he was a working class lad and all this sort of thing. But if you see his house, Mendips, it is, I mean, we moved in 1970 into the same block of houses, and they are beautiful semi-detached houses built in the mid-30s. We had, and they still have in that house, a call box for calling bell calls from the rooms and things. So they were very middle-class, upper-middle-class houses, which isn't the impression he ever likes to give. He wants to make that he is a working-class lad. But
so what was Walton like when you were growing up?
It used to be very much a village. I mean, it was quite rural, really, yes, along Walton Road and such like. There was farms with cows and such like. Yeah. You know, people didn't realise that was, happening until relatively recently.
Used to see the herds of cows coming along into the dairy in the village on a regular basis, coming into
James's Dairy. Yes.
The traffic got held up to the cows to come through the village.
That's right.
And that's something all of us remember.
Everything you could want was delivered to your door, and my mother got it. She always came into the village nearly every day to shop. I think probably to Natter as well. It was a happy place, wasn't it?
It was.
There was a lot going on, a lot of nice shops. Sadly, most have gone, but it was a good place to be brought up, really.
Erwin's, my mum loved Erwin's, which is the early form of supermarket. Was a big store, food store, and the co-op of the two.
Yes, and Brooks at the bottom.
Brooks, yes.
And then there was a very famous cake shop called Cluck's.
Yes.
I mean, they had 12 shops throughout Liverpool originally, but Walton was definitely one of their best. The bakehouse wasn't here, but they queues of people on a Saturday outside the door for both cakes and bread. So very popular.
Yeah. I love little shops selling knitting wool. My mum did a lot of knitting, and they sell knitting wool, and she used to go up regularly because they would hold the wool back for you. So you went up and got a ball of wool when you're out of your supply, so you're happy to have it all at home. And my mum used to go there a lot, but because we had the baths regularly. Did you go to the baths?
Yes, I did.
I had a contract there. I've got a twin brother, and we used to have a contract all summer for the summer holidays, and went up regularly to swim in the baths. And
a swimming teacher, Mrs. Selwyn Lloyd or Selwyn Jones, who I was absolutely terrified of. She put a rope around my waist and threw me in, and I said to my parents, I'm never going back.
Do you swim now?
No. she traumatised me for life.
And you have the trams as well?
Yes. I don't remember the trams.
The four and the five.
You may have done. Yeah. I don't remember them particularly because I think they went when I was only...
And of course, I lived over the hill, so it was a treat to walk down Beaconsfield past Strawberry Fields to get the tram because it went along Mentlove Avenue.
Yes, the tram terminus was in the village at the top of where King's Drive now is.
That's right, yes.
Because King's Drive wasn't there then, was it?
No, not in that form.
Not form, no. The trams all really stopped in the mid 50s, and I was only about 5 or 6, so I don't really remember them particularly.
I don't actually remember the route of the trams, though, into town from here, do you? I can remember it going along Mentlove Avenue.
Well, that's the Smith Down Road as far as
it
I
must
know.
Have done
Smith,
Smith,
Smith Down Road,
Road
but, yes, presumably.
Yeah.
Because certainly there's no other way into
them. I suppose at the time. No, I can't. I think we just went to Penny Lane, really, on the tram.
It's interesting when you're talking that you've already mentioned Strawberry Fields, Penny Lane, just in passing.
Yeah, sorry. Part of your life.
So very much just places for John Lennon. They would have been just places in his life.
Well, I think certainly Strawberry Fields, they used to take the children to walk for walks in Calderstones Park, and I can remember the Salvation Army, the girls with their bonnets, taking children walking in Calderstones Park from Strawberry Fields.
So you both stayed in Walton, and you both got a strong connection to the church here.
Yeah.
Mm. And obviously you have recreated that day, the Rose Queen.
Recreation was the 50th, but we'd done a big celebration for the 40th, which is why we have a plaque on the church hall here, and that was put up to commemorate that. And then every 10 years we had done something. And the tour has just come, particularly for the Beatles weekend at the end of August. We're usually open in the church hall is open between usually Thursday and Tuesday, and we're open for anybody who wants to come in. We can do it in the school holidays because we haven't got any organisations meeting in the hall. Normally the hall is chocker with children's organisations, but in the school holidays, they're all on holiday, so we have this hall available, and we get 100,000 coming
in. For some people, in fact, I think it was the 50th, is that when James Jones did the service in church?
Yes.
And had the balloon stand?
Yeah.
An American couple came and sat next to us, and we were chatting, you know, and I said, oh, you know, have you come over here on a holiday? And she looked absolutely horrified. She said, no, we've come here to honour John Lennon and the Beatles. I was like, oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, very, it's really a pilgrimage for an awful lot of people. Do you remember this? I think there's five either Mexican or Brazilian ladies, and every year they have different outfits tailored in their own country. The year before last, they did Sergeant Pepper, and the outfits were exquisite.
Mm. Wow.
And then we had a very nice Japanese girl, Yoko, who
did these amazing
wrote and asked if she could put... She'd done 10 quilts, 10-foot square quilts of the Beatles, their songs and such like, and she would just... It would be her life's ambition to have them hanging in the church hall where the Beatles were. And we said, yes, you know, if you bring them over, we'll hang them. And they were absolutely gorgeous.
But people have their own reasons for coming. I mean, I can remember talking to a couple with a teenage boy, and on top of my head I thought, oh, the poor lad's been dragged around by his parents, they must be the Beatles fans. Oh no, they were from Australia. This teenage boy runs a Beatles fan club for teenagers in Australia. And he was the one that wanted to come. So sometimes you prejudge why people come, and then you realise it's completely wrong. They just come and they just want to talk and they want to know. And it's sad, really, that we don't remember enough. I'd like to remember more for their sakes, because they really are interested, but we share what we know. And yes, and there's a picture of me on the lorry on the wall in the hall, and so I say, that's me up there. Oh, I must take a picture of you pointing at you. And I don't really understand why, but they do, and if that's what they want. But they are, I mean, they're all lovely people.
Yeah, I don't think we've ever had an unpleasant visitor. They have been so delightful. Yeah. And they're so grateful for any little snippet you can impart. Yeah. Or just go round the hall with them. Yeah. I mean, for us, it's not exactly exciting the way it's done out, but they just love it. Yeah. They absolutely love it.
But I mean, this year, I remember the first day I was there, this chap came in. He came in a bit earlier before we were opening, but he said, could he come in? So I said, fine, and we let him in. And he said he was staying down in town, and he'd been round to the Beatles story and things like that. But he said it all felt a bit impersonal. You know, it was tourist stuff and everything else. But he said, the welcome I've got here is completely different. You know, you're so welcoming and so friendly. And I realised that, you know, it means something to you. It's your place, and you've got history here. And he really enjoyed being here. I'm so grateful for that, rather than, I mean, I know place that they've got all that they're, you know, that they share and everything else, but it's, they haven't got the personal connection which we have.
I think that's the bit that they love. The very fact that Pam and I were actually there on the day is enough for them to be to worship us.
If you've enjoyed this episode of Beatles City, please remember to review, rate and subscribe on your favourite podcast app, where you can also find all episodes from our first two series. And all the episodes of Series 1, including an exclusive interview with Paul McCartney, can now be found on the Liverpool Echo's YouTube channel.